Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Actually, Genesis chapter 6 through 9. We will be looking at continuing a series on the altars in Genesis. It's been almost 2 months since I've been here, and life has changed for us, hasn't it? Before, last time I was preaching here, I was preaching about Cain and Abel offering an offering. And the summary of the whole message is, give God your best and the first fruits, not your leftovers. And that's basically the summary of that message. It took me 20, 30 minutes to preach it, but that's the basic message. Give God your best. And we are looking at the altars in the book of Genesis, and life has changed. I didn't get any handshakes today, and I didn't get any hugs today except from my wife and my kids. Nobody greeted me with a holy kiss, and that says it's in the Bible. I was kind of disappointed. Life has changed. We are a little more stressed. We are struggling with a whole bunch of what could be's. Especially if you retired, you see your 401ks and your retirement accounts dropped significantly. And some of you might be thinking, do I have to go back to work? And it's like, I can't go back to work. There's no work to be had. So you're in a very stressful situation. And so life has changed for us. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 6. And when we look at Genesis chapter 6, you know it's a great children's sermon. I don't know if you can see on the thing. There's a great Noah's altar, Genesis, and it has this children's thing that I've seen in Sunday school of a beautiful rainbow, the ark, and nice green grass. And you see Noah, and there's eight of them. So one of the cool things is there's eight of them. And I'm here like, huh, that's the same as my family during this quarantine. There's a mom and dad, and we have six kids. But Noah had three sons and their daughters, and they had all six. And I was wondering if Noah was a referee like I am sometimes, like my wife is sometimes. I wonder if there was a little spats going on during the quarantine. Now, their quarantine, we're only in week 7. Their quarantine was 1 year, 2 months, and 17 days. 1 year, 2 months, and 17 days. So as we're looking at this word of this scripture today, Noah and his family were in quarantine, if you think about it. And so is there things that we can learn from scriptures about the first family that went through quarantine in an extreme way? They had no help. They didn't look at any government for help. They didn't look for anything outside of God and their family. So we are looking at an altar. We're looking at Noah's life, and we're looking at these things. And I want to draw some parallels that are loose, but they are connected. They're not direct. I was on the website of Reuters news last week. I mean, yesterday, at April 18th, 2020, at 2:30, here's what Reuters said. There were 2.3 million confirmed cases worldwide. There were 152,202 deaths worldwide. And then I'm here like, oh, what about America? In America, there was, at that time, at 2:30, there were 707,000 confirmed cases in America. And then when I looked at deaths, there were 35,936 deaths in the United States connected with the coronavirus. That doesn't mean that it was the main cause or some of the causes, but somehow somebody connected it some way, shape, or form for some reason or another. we are at a point in our country's history that our lives are changing. If we think back to 9/11 and we watch those planes hit the two towers, and we had no idea how our lives will change. And now we are in another place in world history with this coronavirus. It's going to change. It's going to change how we interact. It's going to change a whole lot of things. Like a month and a half ago when I preached there, this church was full of people, and now it's empty. A month and a half ago, you watched Facebook Live if you were sick. Now you're watching it because other people are sick. Life has changed, and our world has changed, but I want to go back to Noah, okay? We are in chapter 6 of the Bible, chapter 6. That means there was chapter 1, creation, chapter 2, the fall, chapter 3 is still in creation and getting kicked out of the garden and the response to that. Chapter 4 is you have Cain and Abel. Chapter 5, you have a lot of begots and things. And then chapter 6. Now, if I did my math right, there's 1,656 years between creation and the flood. 1,656 years. And you say, Pastor, that's only one chapter. Yeah, it's only one chapter, but I did my math little thing, and you know, I put out a little stickum on the side of my thing and started adding up when people were died and this or that, and I backed it up. You can double check my math. 1,656 years is what but that all depends on when Cain and Abel offered their sacrifice. That we don't know, but in that period of time, the scripture says from Adam and Eve to the time of Noah, man's heart turned really sinful. It had a bad virus. It had a really, really bad virus. People were not only sinful, they were violent, and they were killing each other for each other's wives, each other's kids. The Bible doesn't tell us, but it says it was really, 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 really bad. It was so bad that God, when he looked down and he saw his creation, and think about this. When God created in Genesis 1, everything he created, he said it was good. And then he said when he created man, it was very good. And now we're in chapter 6, 1,600 years later, God is saying it's very, very, very bad. There is something worse than the coronavirus. Unfortunately, it still exists today. We're talking about sin. We're talking about things that will destroy us from the inside out. It will destroy your home. It will destroy your marriage. It will destroy everything that we have. It's horrible. But you see, like the coronavirus, I'm going to get up and personal in your face. Like the coronavirus, you get the virus, but you don't know it. Sin is kind of like that. The first time you tell a lie, you don't get struck. Maybe you don't get found out. And then you tell another one, and tell another one, and tell another one. And then in the end, you don't even know the truth from the real thing because you have told so many lies that you think that they're true now. Or the first time you look at a woman in lust and you start looking and then looking, and then you go to a porn site and it grows and grows and then you're addicted and it has you and you're destroyed from the inside out. Oh, the first time you said something mean to somebody and they didn't fight back and you said, I'm powerful. I can call people jerks. I can use swear words. I can use cuss words. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. But you are killing yourself from the inside out. And then there comes a point when you cannot stop swearing. I have friends on Facebook that their mouth is F this, F this, F that. And it's on Facebook and it should be scrubbed. But it's not. And you know what Jesus says about that? It blows my mind. It says that what comes out of the mouth shows you what their heart is. And they're telling everybody their heart is sinful, jerks, and bad. And I'm here like, They don't think that. They think that what they're describing is somebody else, but they're describing their own heart, and they're dying and going to hell and don't know it. The first time that you lose your anger and you hit your kid, you get away with it. And then it gets worse and worse. Or the first time, you name it, it's like the coronavirus. You think you're okay. And you're walking around. But you're walking around with something deadly. Now, fortunately for us, most people don't die from the coronavirus. It's like 2% in America today. And it's usually because of some other complications and those types of things. But you know what? Sin has a 100% death rate. It's 100%. Sin will kill you. It will destroy everything that's good in your life. A little at a time. And just like the coronavirus, you won't notice it. The first time you say this, you get away with it. You get away with it. And sin traps you. And then it grows inside of you and takes over everything. And then by the time you realize it, maybe it's the first time you took a smoke. First time took a drink. Maybe the first time you shot up. You got away with it. And you think, I can control this. You can't. And that's what God was facing with Genesis chapter 6. He comes to a point where he says, I am sorry that I made man. Let's look at that. Genesis 6, starting at verse 5 and 7. I want you to hear it in God's own voice, God's own word, rather than me. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And the Lord grieved that he made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe out mankind, whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals, creatures, and all that moves along the ground, the birds of the air, and I am grieved that I've made them. And then it says this wonderful word, but I saw Noah. Now my question to you is, let's talk about you. Let's talk about Pastor Andy. Let's talk about where you live. Around you is a lot of world of filth and sin and broken homes, broken everything. And it's the world is falling apart. I just read a Facebook page from Tom Bowser from Fishbone talking about the hopelessness down at the island in Butler. And he said, this is bad. The gospel's not going out, giving people hope, giving people relief. The gospel is now inside people's homes. And if you don't have internet, you don't have Facebook, how are you going to hear the gospel? And guess what? Those people are not searching Faith Fellowship or Crosswinds Alliance. They're not searching our websites right now. But I hope they will, because the Holy Spirit can do it. He can draw all of us all in. And so if you're one of those people that is struggling with sin and your life is horrible, you're fighting with your mom, you're fighting with your dad, you are stealing from your grandpa, you're stealing from your grandma, things are going really bad, you can't pay your rent, and your car's broken down and all those types of things, and you're searching for hope, here's the hope. You have to take care of the virus that's in your heart and in your heart and in your mind. You need to take care of the sin issue. But I'm hoping today that there are a lot of Noahs, because there are. Every believer is a Noah. He might not be perfect, and guess what? Noah's not perfect. He got drunk. He embarrassed his kids. I do that all the time, almost every time I preach. Not that badly, but I embarrass them. I even have their stuffed animals up here today, and they're saying, Dad. But the Lord put you in a dire situation. Your home is a little ark in the midst of a storm that is going badly outside. One of these days, the coronavirus is going to go away. Things are going to be reset in such a way. Are you going to be bitter? Are you going to be angry? Are you going to be throwing God out the window and you're going to be one of those ones cursing God because life didn't go the way you wanted it to? Or are you going to be the one of those ones saying, the coronavirus is done. Let's thank the Lord. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's make God's house, God's church, even more powerful by going to do things, doing the things that He has called you to do, ministering in the way that He has asked you to minister. That is what God is going to be doing. But you know what? We all have a choice. How are we going to respond? You see, it is the sacrifice of faith that God responds to. It is an incredible sacrifice of faith that God responds to. And so, I have no idea where I am, but that's okay. Yeah. Some of you are going to be asked to build an ark. I want you to think about that. Some of you guys are going to be asked to build an ark. You say, what does that mean? God has a ministry for you that is impossible, and you're telling God you can't do it. It's impossible. I can't make a boat. Wait, I have to go check out the figures. Let's 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. I don't have those memorized. God, Noah must have looked at God and said, I don't make boats. God, I don't even live near a river. And you want me to make a boat? Guess what? God is asking you some of the exact same questions. Oh, you want to hear about a boat? I'm a pastor. I study Greek, I study Hebrew, and I read religious books. You know what I've been doing for the last 3 or 4 weeks? Learning technology, learning about embedded codes, learning about how to share, learning about YouTube, learning about Facebook, learning about a whole lot of things. And I could just say, God, that's somebody else's job. You didn't make me that way. And guess what? There are other people in our church facing the same thing. I can tell a story. I'm gonna be bad about my treasurer. Yeah. You see, some people call, Gary, I owe you $5. Okay. God, you know, some people called and said, hey, we want to give not by tithely, we want to give by PayPal. And you know what Gary said? It's impossible. He said, I'll tell you what, I will drive out to the house, pick up the check, and come home because it's such a pain in the butt to figure all of these things out. I can't do it. It's impossible, Pastor. There's no way it can be done. The IRS is going to get us. All these types of things is going to happen. But you go to Faith Fellowship Alliance Church website, click on the homepage, and you'll see Tithely, and you'll say, if you want to pay by PayPal, donate here. Press that button. Yeah, Gary had an ark that he didn't want to build, didn't know how to build, but God says, hey, your people want to give this way? Let them have ways that they can give. Yes, sir. I owe you something, Gary. I'm in trouble now. Thank you for those anonymous people who asked to have PayPal. It's good. God's opening up different doors. Because what's happening is, yes, there's more expenses in the church. We have to buy new materials. The board has just improved multi-cameras, and that's going to cost money. Those things happen. But you know what? We want the gospel to go out through you. And God is doing incredible things. So what does that mean? God's going to make you build an ark during this quarantine period? Yes, He is. Guess what? Because you have more time now to listen to the Holy Spirit than you ever had before. You say, is that true in your life, Pastor? Not exactly. My stuff has doubled and tripled. And so I have to get my balance in life, and I'm still working on that. But there's a lot of people, I see you on Facebook, you're bored. You're going, all you have to do is, post-politics stuff and other things. You're really bored. But God says, I want to hang out with you. I have an ark that I want you to build that you think is impossible. And some of you guys already know what it is. That's why you're running to the internet. That's why you're watching, binge-watching so many shows on Netflix or on Hulu or on Amazon Prime. You're running from God because God has asked you to build an ark. And you say, no, God, I'm not going to build that ark. It's just impossible. And the Lord is saying, no, it's not impossible. There are lost people dying and going to hell. And in fact, there was 152,000 people that was alive in January 1st that are not alive now. And many of them don't know Jesus and have gone to a living hell. And we have not reached them as a church of Jesus Christ. And guess what? Get off your tail. Get up off your things and start doing what God's called you to do, because there's an ark that's empty in your house that should have your family and friends knowing about Jesus Christ and falling in love with Jesus because Jesus loves them. So, yes, you're here like we're in quarantine. God still has an ark for you to build and you need to start building it. Get off Netflix. Get off Amazon Prime. Get off searching your Facebook. Get off searching how many likes and how many dislikes, how many times it's shared, and all the numbers and stuff that makes you feel better. It doesn't feel all that great unless the Lord Jesus Christ says, I'm proud of you. You're doing what I've called you to do. There's nothing like that. Let me tell you how that feels. Friday's my day off. I haven't had a day off in weeks. But I tried. And as I was coming out of faith fellowship, I don't know what time I was coming home late on Friday night on my day off, I felt God's presence said, well done, son. Even though I had a bad attitude, I even asked Jesus to forgive me multiple times because, I know one time's enough, but, I didn't feel it yet. But when I was walking home on Friday night, the Lord said, you did a good job. It made me feel good. I'm here like, but I have a bad attitude, Lord. You shouldn't be saying, you did a good job. I still smell and I'm still a little stinky. And the Lord still said, you did a good job today, son. You didn't do what you wanted to do. You did what I wanted you to do. And you know what? We have an ark to build. You have an ark to build. Stop delaying. No. Let's talk about this ark. I have several dreams that is way, way out there. And some of those dreams you only tell a few people. You don't tell everybody. But you have some dreams that are way out there. And guess what? Only God can do them. Only God can do them. And I want you to think about Noah. He's building his ark, 475 feet long, and he's building it. And the neighbors come by and say, hey, what you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. I'm building a big boat. What a fool. What an idiot. How can you believe that? Think about that. That's how the world treats Christians today. When we talk about homosexuality, lesbian, and transgendered as, hey, that's kind of crazy. We think it's kind of crazy. Guess what? They think we're crazy. And we're here like, don't you know biology 101? Don't you know those things? But they think we're crazy, and they say, oh, those Christian people are crazy. Oh, but we're building an ark. You see, we know one of these days, two things are going to happen. Two. One, I'm going to die. I don't know how. Maybe a car wreck. Maybe cancer. Maybe I live until old age and the Lord just takes me home in my sleep. Or Jesus Christ is going to come back. And all those who love him, who follow him, will meet Jesus in the air. It's going to be one of those two. And guess what? We crazy Christians are building ark for our friends, for our family, and we're telling everybody, Jesus is the answer. Get in the Jesus ark, because if you're not in the Jesus ark, you're in trouble. Because Jesus says there's only one way to go to heaven, only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father through him. And so these crazy Christians are building this ark of faith. And guess what? It probably took Noah. My guess is 50 years. Now, when I was reading on answersingenesis.com, they suggested 55 to 75 years based on the ages of the kids and all those types of things. You can look it up. It doesn't matter. But what does matter is that it took a long period of time. You see, when we say build an ark that's 475 feet long, 75 feet wide, 45 feet high, when you start saying that and you actually start doing it and you've never built an ark before, it takes time. And guess what? Building an ark, one board at a time, one nail at a time, one joist at a time, one side at a time. It took a long time. 55 years of people thinking that Noah is crazy. And guess what? I've lived, maybe it's because I'm 49 that I think it took 50 years to build the ark. I don't know. But 50 years of building something, that's an awful long time. Friends, there are some arcs that's going to take you that long. You say, Pastor, I'm 35. That means I won't finish until I'm 85? That might be right. Some of you are saying, I'm 50. If it takes 50 years, then I'll be 100. Yeah, it might be that you live that long. Or it may be that you're building an ark for your kids or for those who come after you to finish building what you have dreamed of building. Some of us are, I want to talk to the church. Some of us need to be putting money in building funds and stuff for a building we'll never see. A building that's way out there. We'll never see it. But God is putting away money. Just like David, before he died, he put away lots of money to build the temple so that his son could build it. You know what? Most of us don't have that vision today. We want our name on the plaque. We want those types of things. But God is saying, I want you to build an ark. I have no idea. 45. This is not in my notes anyplace, but you know, God is speaking today. I don't know if I'm done or not. I'd like to take a short prayer and ask the Spirit. Heavenly Father, am I done? Is there a message that you... I know there's a message at the end. I didn't even get to the altar yet. But Lord, I just pray that you would let me know where to go next. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, let's get to the altar. Noah had spent 1 year, 2 months, and 17 days inside an ark. 3 stories high. He has been, think about this, cleaning stalls for a year that same long, taking poop out, throwing it over the side. Yeah, he's been feeding the animals 3 times, twice a day. I don't know. He's been feeding probably 45,000 animals every day. Those people have been working hard. They are the essential workers for the animals. Do you get my drift? They've been working hard, 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 so that when those doors open and those animals leave, now they're nice and cute and fuzzy right now. They're nice and cute, but when you've been taking care of them for a long period of time, yesterday I went to a farm and I got to feed a calf with a bottle and we got to fight and there was mama mooing and those types of things. And my little Elijah was doing this. It smells like poop. out of the mouth of babes. That's, think about an ark filled with 4,500 animals. Have you ever been to a zoo? I'll tell you, when you go to the zoo, it smells pretty good. But I'll tell you, being 4,500 animals in 475 feet, 75 feet long, 45 feet high, full of animals, it probably smelled, it probably stunk. No matter how much Noah and his family cleaned and fed and took care of the animals, it was a tireless job. How many times they broke up animals fighting, how many times they got kicked, how many times they got bit, how many times, it's been crazy. So when those doors open up, it'll be like mom and dad sending their kids back to school. Yippee! Okay, no, I shouldn't have said that. Okay. The doors open and the animals head out, and Noah and his family probably went, I don't have to feed them tonight. God's going to do it through grass and those types of things. God's going to feed them tonight. The truth is, God fed them the whole time. He just did it through Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He gets out, and the animals go. And Noah takes some of the clean animals. My wife made sure I had some clean animals here. A lamb. And the scripture says some clean birds too. And Noah sacrificed them on an altar to God, saying, thank you for delivering my family. Thank you for setting us free. Thank you for being here. Thank you for keeping us safe. Thank you for a new start. Thank you for, I'll tell you, that offering. And you know what I find strange? It's 1,656 years since the last offering that was recorded in Scripture. Noah offers a sacrifice and says thank you to the Lord. He offers up the sacrifice, but I want you to notice something, that God responds by cutting a covenant with them. And you say, Pastor, I don't know what, I've heard covenant before, but what is a covenant? Well, what you do with a covenant is you cut an animal in half. You cut an animal in half and you lay the animal on one side and the other half on the other side. And you cut the animal in half. Seeing that I have two animals, I'm not going to cut them up because my kids would shoot me. So I have the animal. It's really bloody. It's really gross. They cut the animal in half and they put it on either side. And then Noah walks through. God walks between the to and say, may I be like that animal if I don't keep my word. Very graphic. And that's what it says. God cut a covenant with Noah and the whole world. And he goes, this is what I am promising to do. I am promising that I will never destroy all living creatures and the earth ever again by flood. I will never do that. Noah's like, yes, woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You're never going to kill us all again. I won't have to go to build an ark or keep the ark up. So just in case you're going to do it again and I have to get back in it. And then God says this. That's my part, but here's your part. And here's the scary part about it is God institutes capital punishment for murder. I know Christians don't like that. A lot of Christians are anti-capital punishment. But God, after 1,656 years of not doing capital punishment to Cain for killing his brother, he saw the result of that. When he makes the covenant, he says, if you slay a person, that person will be slain. And guess what? If you eat an animal while it's still alive, I was thinking about this, with its lifeblood in it, an animal that is still alive. So maybe the salamander, it's running around and I go, nom, 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 and eat it. Guess what? It must be that's what they were doing. They were eating live animals. And God says, if you do that, your life is forfeit. I'm going to forfeit your life. Some of you guys probably don't believe what I'm... So let's turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter... Let's see. I think it's at the end of 8. I'm going to just read. You know, let's stand for the reading of God's word, and I will close pretty soon. Yeah, probably in 5 minutes. 10 minutes, maybe. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, even in your home. Let's look at Genesis chapter 8, starting at verse 13. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creatures that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number upon it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives, and all the animals, all the creatures that move along the ground, and all the birds, everything that moves on the earth came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds and sacrificed the burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And God blessed Noah and his sons, saying, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, upon all the fish of the sea. They are giving into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you, just as I gave you green plants and then I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood in it. For your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, from each man too. I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Listen to this. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God he made man. And as for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply it on the earth and increase upon it. Now God said to Noah and to his sons, I now establish my covenant. What that says is, now I cut a covenant in the Hebrew with you and your descendants after you and every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that come out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off from the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And the Lord God said, this is a sign of the covenant I'm making between you and me and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between you and me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and a rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between you and me, all living creatures and every kind. Never again will the waters be a flood to destroy all the earth. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I've established between me and all life on earth. You may be seated. Did you hear that word? Covenant, covenant, covenant. In the Hebrew it says, I cut a covenant. And you cut a covenant by cutting animals in half and walking between them and saying, may I be like that if I break my word. I find it phenomenally interesting. God says, I'm not going to kill you, but I don't want you to kill others. And if you kill others, you're going to have your own death to deal with. You see what God's doing? He's setting up. If you're a Narnia fan, this is the deep magic.
This is the magic before the time began. That the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. He is setting this up from Genesis chapter 6. He's setting it all up because one of these days, Jesus is going to do a new covenant and he's going to cut himself in half and says, I'm going to pay what you did. You've sinned. You've done wrong. I'm going to pay the price. Cut me in half. I will pay it for you. You are the one that sinned. You're the one that should die. But I am going to pay it for you. That's the good news of the gospel. And this is where I'm going to end. I'm going to have to... going to do altar part, same one next time I come back. I'm going to finish it up because there's so much more here. But I believe God has already spoken. And I think here's what he said. Some of you have a sin issue and you need to deal with it. And the only way to deal with it is Jesus cutting a covenant of him, his own body, for you to be set free from sin so that then you may build the ark, that impossible dream that God has given you, that God wants you to do. Yes, it might take 20 years. It might take 5 years. It might take 100 years. It doesn't matter. You need to get started on the ark. Maybe somebody else will finish it after you. But what you need to do is your part. I am standing in a church that was built, I don't know how many years ago, but by other people's love, sweat, and equity. And guess what? It's growing, and the church is growing strong because God is doing it. You're hearing it today because somebody else sacrificed and had a dream of God building an ark here on 356, right? 356, God put an ark right here for the salvation of souls, and he wants you saved today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace and your love. And Lord, I ask for my own sin problem. Lord, would you forgive me? Thank you, Jesus, for taking and cutting a covenant with your blood that I may be forgiven so that I won't have to die and go to hell. I can have eternal life through Jesus Christ who died for me and paid the covenant from a long time ago, way back in Genesis. That if I shed blood, and I've shed blood, Father, maybe I haven't murdered somebody with a gun or an axe, but Lord, you said that if I thought about it in my heart, if I said raca to my brother, I've committed murder in my heart. That I have done. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I look forward to those who are praying that a prayer that, Lord Jesus, forgive me, I have sinned. Lord Jesus, come into my heart so that this sin problem can be dealt with, so that I can get started on that dream that you have given me, that ark that you have given me to build. You have not given it for somebody else, but you have given it to me. So, Father, I pray that you would forgive us, that you would make us your children, and that you would empower us to build the arks that you have called us to build. In Christ's name, amen. Go in peace. Thank you for watching us today. I know that you've been at your home, those types of things, but I trust that God has spoken to you. So as you do dishes, as you finish cleaning the house, whatever you are doing, probably listening on the side, I trust that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today. God bless and thanks for listening.